Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Are you ready? In Micah 2, verse 13, it says, "The one who breaks open, parats, P-A-R-A-S, the one who breaks open, breaks out. He breaks open the way, and he goes before us, goes before you, goes before them. And then it says, they will then break through the gate and go out." Because we have the one whose name is Break Out, it is breakthrough. Because he goes before us, that means that we can break out and break through, because he is the breaking out. He is the breakthrough. He is the one who goes before us. He's the one who makes a way. He does things that we don't deserve. He makes a way that we cannot make. He opens up things that we cannot open. But as he is the breakthrough and he goes before us, he says, walk in the way, walk in my way. And as I break through, you break through, because I am your breakthrough and your breaking out. Does anybody believe this today? Their king will pass through before them, and the Lord is their head. He goes before us, he goes behind us, he goes with us. There's no other outcome except victory. There's no other outcome except breakthrough. There's no other outcome except a breaking out of God in your life and through your life. Anybody believe this morning? Turn to somebody next to you and say, you look like you believe it. Acts chapter 12. There was hassle going on. There was persecution going on. They were coming against the church in that day. And it says, it was about that time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James. Now, James was the chief apostle, head apostle in Jerusalem. He was the main guy out of all the apostles, if you like. He led the church in Jerusalem. And it says, he had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. The enemy was seeking to snuff out the things of God. There was a breaking out of God in that hour, in that day. There was a breaking out of the things of God in the early church there, and the enemy did not want there to be a breaking out of God. So he was like, let's take some people out. Let's not just try and take them out and disappoint them. Let's take them out physically. Let's destroy their lives. Let's kill them off. Because the enemy, that's what he seeks to do. Steal, kill, and destroy. And it says here, they put him to the sword. And when he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We'll come back to that in a moment. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. 16 blokes. 16 guys to protect one guy. What was all that about? We'll come back to that in a moment. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after Passover. Just grab a seat for a moment, okay, just while we get into this, and then you might find yourself on your feet again in a minute. Are you ready? There's a breaking out already going on this morning in people's lives. The enemy wanted to shut out the things of God. The enemy wants to shut out the things of God in your life. He wants to keep you in restriction. He wants to keep you down. He wants to cause things around you to squash in, squeeze around you, and squeeze the life out of you. But we have one on the inside who is bigger than what comes from the outside. So they arrested Peter. And it was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, what is that? Many people think that's Passover. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is different to Passover. And the Feast of Unleavened Bread came from when God brought the Israelites out of Egypt. And because he said, get out quickly, they didn't have time to put yeast in their bread and all the process that took. And he said, leave the yeast out. Leave it out and just bake the thing quick and let's get going. So all the bread they baked when they left was didn't have any yeast in it. There was no rise in it. It was just flat kind of stuff, okay? And yeast in the Bible that God talks about is sin. And God brought them out of Egypt because he wanted to bring them out of captivity, out of slavery. He wanted to bring them into freedom. He wanted to bring them into his promises. He wanted to bring them into everything that he had for them. And so he said, what you're going to leave behind is everything that's going to restrict you, everything that's going to control you, everything that's going to squash you, squeeze you, pull you down. And Egypt, we know in the Bible, often represents sin and captivity. And so he said, leave out the leaven, leave out the yeast, okay, the sin. Now, one of the things that Jews do when it's the Feast of Unleavened Bread is they have to clean their house of any leaven, right? Now, it's impossible to clean your house out because the leaven and what they use to make bread, it's just in the air. It's so fine, it's in the air, so that it's like dust. You clean it out 1 minute, you look at the sideboard and, man, I've just cleaned that 10 minutes ago and there's more dust on it. Your husband comes home and says, didn't you dust today? And you said, yeah, but there's just more dust. I thought you'd hoover today. Anybody get that one? You can hoover and 10 minutes later with all your kids. I thought I hoovered a few minutes ago, but it just looks as bad as it did. You know, anybody get that? Or is it just my house? I'm not complaining about my wife's hoovering, just to cover that one. But when they had to clear out the yeast, it was because what God was saying, he said, I want to clear out everything in your life, everything of sin, everything of separation, everything that would stop you walking with me, encounter with me, would seek to get in the way, trip you up, whatever. And so this is one of the things that the Jews do, and they have to clean their house out before the week of unleavened bread because the yeast represents sin. It's like a consecration coming before God. And it's interesting that Peter was arrested during the Feast of Unleavened Bread because he was put in jail. And just picture what was going on for a minute. When they put him in jail, it says here that they put him in prison and they handed him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers. Why did he need four squads of four soldiers? Because they knew he'd been with Jesus. They knew Peter had been with Jesus. What happened in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus was praying and they came to arrest Jesus? What happened? Anybody remember, knows what happens? When the soldiers came to arrest him and Jesus stood up, what happened? Everybody hit the deck. All the soldiers that came, the power of God, the presence of God, all the soldiers hit the deck. They couldn't stand in the presence of God, in the power of God. And these guys were like, Peter's been with Jesus. And we know what happened when we tried to arrest Jesus. All the soldiers were decked. They hit the floor. So we're going to make sure that whatever happens with this Peter guy, we need at least 16 guys to guard him. Because if something's going to happen like that, we need to make sure we can keep him captive, that he's not going to run, not going to get out of here. See, and the enemy sees who you are in Christ. He sees who God is in your life. He sees when we're living in the great rest, when we're living in that way, because when you're living in that way, you're dangerous. See, when they came to arrest Jesus, they couldn't stand against him because the power of God, they were flattened. They had no answer. So they had four lots of four, 16 guys around Peter. This guy's been with Jesus. See, the enemy knows how we walk. The enemy knows how we walk. He knows who we've been with. There's opposition in life in all kinds of different ways. We live in a battle in this day and hour. Individually, as a church, as the church, there's God's purposes that he's out working on the earth right now. And there's an enemy that seeks to take us out in different ways. And he'll post guards, all kinds of things. He'll try and cause fear. He'll try and cripple you in some way. He'll try and affect your life in some way. He doesn't care how he does it, but he'll try and put you in restriction and put things around you that you look at and say, that's too big, that's too much, I can't conquer that. See, Peter suddenly was guarded by 16 people. Did he have an attitude that was like, wow, I've got 16 guys, I'm never going to get out of here? Well, let's have a look and see what happens. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. Now, Peter knew that James had just been put to the sword. He is now in prison, guarded by these 16 guys. And he was in prison, remember? It doesn't describe what kind of prison, but they'd have probably shackled him up and everything. which we'll discover in a minute. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. Saints, just quickly come up here. Tony, do you want to quickly just run up? So I'm Peter. Do you want to sit down next to me? So I'm Peter. I'm in jail. Church is being persecuted. People are being killed. One of my best mates, James, has just been put to the sword. I've now been arrested. I've got 16 guards around the cell. I've got two other soldiers within me, with me, and they're sitting next to me. And in the midst of that, what could I be doing? What's going to happen to me in the morning? What's going to happen? Man, James is being killed. Others are being killed. I'm locked in here. 16 guys. I've got these fellas, you know, next to me. And man, what's going to happen? Peter could have been freaking out. He could have been full of fear. He could have been wondering what's going to happen. But what was he doing? What is that? What is that? What is it? Where was he living? Where was he living? He was living in the rest of God, right? Where did he learn that from? Where? Remember, they were going across Galilee one time. Storm came up. Disciples freaking out. Where is Jesus? He's having a kip at the back. What was Jesus doing in the storm? That's going to be all right. It's only a bit of waves and a bit of wind. It's all right. We're going to the other side. It's cool. He learned that by walking with Jesus. So suddenly everything around him was crowding around. Everything did look good. 16 soldiers around his cell. Two of them against him. He was asleep. Love it, don't you? Between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. So this guy's bound in chains, shackles around him. There's no way in the natural he's going to be able to get out of this. But then look what it says. Suddenly, everybody say suddenly. Turn to somebody next and say suddenly. What happened? Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell. You know, when you live in the rest, you attract the presence of God. When you live in the rest, you attract the supernatural things of God. When you live in the rest, God releases angels to work on your behalf and do things that you cannot do. But also, when you're living in the rest, you attract the enemy as well. Because the enemy doesn't like you living in the rest. Because he knows when you live in the rest, he has to put loads of stuff around you. He has to try and restrict you. He has to try and put you down. Because he knows one little thing's not going to put you off. And so when you're living in the rest, he summons loads of things to try and come against you. But what does it show? When you live in the rest, it doesn't matter what the enemy throws at you. Threatens you with death. When you come to trial the next morning, we're going to find you guilty. You're going to die. He tries to put everything around us, but Peter was living in the rest. He was sleeping. That sounds ridiculous in the natural, doesn't it? Peter, you idiot. What are you doing? You should have been praying your socks off, mate. You should have been fasting or something. You should have been... But no, he was in the rest. Asleep. Everything's okay. The circumstances look pretty drastic. The report I'm getting is I've had it in the morning. But there's one bigger in my life and in charge and in control than what the enemy might do, what somebody else might do, what circumstances say, try to restrict me, put me down, hold me back or whatever. So suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell. Don't you love that? I don't know, these guys didn't see it, but an angel appeared to Peter. What did he do? What does it say? He said he struck Peter on the side and woke him up. He didn't go, "Oi, Peter, oi, oi, oi." He struck him on the side. I'm not going to hit you hard. Is that all right? But imagine Tony's Peter for a minute and I'm the angel. He didn't go, "Oi, Peter, wake up, wake up, wake up," you know. He went, "Oi, Peter, come on, Peter, come on, it's time to get up, wake up. You're in the rest, that's great, but it's time to move now, come on." Yeah, you're all right, man. Sorry. So what did he do? the angel said to him. He struck him, woke him up. And he said to him, quick, get up. And the chains at that moment fell off Peter's wrists. You see, you might be in the rest. You might have loads of stuff. The enemy might want to make you feel like and look like you've got chains around you, stuff binding you, fear all around you, people trying to control you, circumstances trying to manipulate you, others demanding things from you. But when you're in the great rest, when God speaks, when he appears, when he does something, every shackle, everything the enemy tries to breaks off. There are no strongholds. There are no shackles. There are no circumstances. There is no negativity. There is nothing that can hold you back from what God wants to do in and through your life, what he wants to bring you into. God takes us through stuff so we can get to what he wants us to be living in. Then the angel said to him, put on your clothes and sandals. We're going. We're leaving this place. The enemy wants to make you feel like you got nothing on, that you're vulnerable. Wants to make you feel like you're not ready, you're not clothed. He wants you to think that you're captive in all kinds of different ways or whatever. But the angel said, come on, put your clothes on, get dressed. You're ready. Let's go. We're moving forward. We're coming out of here. We're going through. We're breaking through. Then it says, then the angel said, put on your clothes and sandals. And Peter did so. So these guys are still, they're asleep. But Peter's now getting dressed, getting ready. He's sorted. Then the angel said to him, Peter, follow me. So Peter followed him out of the prison. Peter followed him out of the prison. Is Jesus captive in any way? Will he ever lead you into any captivity? The only place Jesus leads people is out of captivity, into freedom in every way, in their minds, in their bodies, in their lives, in their circumstances. We might have to go through some stuff, but it's so that we know how to break through and bring other people through so that others can live in everything that God wants them to live in. And so he says, follow me. And so Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea what the angel was doing was really happening. Sometimes we don't know what God is doing, how he's working, but that's the whole point of what we're talking about. God, I don't understand it, but I trust you. God, I don't really know how exactly you're doing it or how it's going to work, but I trust you. God, I can't see how the things are going to open, but I trust you. I can't see where the breakthrough's coming, but I trust you. Because I know you're working on my behalf and you're going to open up things that I can't open up. You're going to open up things that I don't deserve. You're going to do stuff that I am not doing anything for because I'm simply in the rest. I'm trusting you. Then it says, they passed through the first and second guards. Now, I don't know how many that were. There were four lots of four. Maybe they passed through eight. You see, when you're coming out, what does the enemy want to do? Look, there's fear there. There's opposition there. There's a lie there. There's circumstances there. Peter's following this angel. There's guards all around him. And as he's coming out, he can see all the stuff around him that's saying, look, what happens if they wake up? Look at the size of that sword. Look at the size of that spear. Look how intimidating that guy looks. Look at the fear that you could grip your life if he wakes up at this moment. See, when we're coming out, there's all sorts of things that still say to us, you can't come out. You can't come out. You can't come out. You can't live in freedom. You can't break through. You can't bring other people into that freedom either. There's loads of stuff. And the enemy says, follow me. They go through the first guard. They go through the second guard. And they come out of the iron gate leading to the city. Look at this next one. This is brilliant. It opened up for them by itself. It opened up by itself. See, a lot of the time we're like, God, what have I got to do? What am I supposed to do? What am I to open that up, to break it open? And God says, it's going to happen all by itself. It's going to happen all by itself. What was Peter doing? Trusting. Depending. Leaning on God. And God's saying, I'm going to get him out. Remember the Feast of Unleavened Bread? What was all that about? Israel, they were captive in Egypt. They could not get themselves out. God was going to do something and things were going to open up all by themselves, because God had a plan. God was in charge. God was working. God was moving. And he got them out of Egypt. He activated them. They left all the old behind and came into something totally new. And it parallels with this story. God's saying, if I can do that with the people, I can do that with you. If I can bring a nation out of captivity, I can bring you and help you and enable you to live in the fullness of life. So no matter what is going around you, you can still live in the great rest. You can still live in me, walking with me, even though the enemy tries to squash in and restrict you. And as you walk with me, there's a breaking off. There's a breaking through. There's a breaking out of who God is. And when they walked the length, it opened up all by itself. And they went through it. And when they walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left them. Then Peter came to himself. This is Peter, isn't it? Listen to this. Now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me. Man, if he still doubted after that, I think suddenly he'd find himself back in jail. But now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating. Wow. The enemy seeks to steal, kill, and destroy constantly. He has plans. Herod's clutches and everything the Jewish people were anticipating. What they thought they were going to do to Peter, how they thought they were going to shut the church down, how they were going to thought they were going to stop the things of God going forward. But there's nothing that can stop the things of God going forward. There's nothing that can stop your things in your life going forward as we live and trust in who God is, living in the rest of God. Why? Because in the rest, that's where the supernatural is released. In the rest, that's where angels work on our behalf. In the rest, that's where there's a breaking out. In the rest, that's where there's a shutting down of the enemy. In the rest, that's where that things open up all by themselves. And you're like, how did that happen? How did that work? It's God. Then he ends up going to the house where they're all praying. And Peter knocked at the door, the entrance, and the servant girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she didn't open the door. She ran without opening it and exclaimed, Peter is at the door. And because these were early church revival people, you know, they believed everything they prayed. They weren't like us. They were super Christians. Because that's what we think they were like. They were just people just like you and me. We know that because it says there. They said to Rhoda, you're out of your mind. Even though they were praying for Peter's release. They were all there having a prayer meeting for Peter's release. And the very thing they were praying, they didn't really believe. Well, that's what it shows anyway. Because he's knocking at the door. And they said it must be his angel. But Peter kept on knocking. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Then Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. Tell James and the brothers about this, he said. And then he left for another place. Obviously, there was a bit of a commotion in the jail afterwards because Peter wasn't there. He'd gone. Sometimes we think that, you know, these guys were in their prayer meeting praying for Peter and whatever they were praying, however they were praying, that it was all part of that supernatural release for Peter. As he was in that place of rest, there were other people praying for him, supernatural activity. Nothing could hold him. Nothing could restrict him. Nothing could stop him from coming out from where he was in. Living in the rest. How many of you want supernatural activity in and around your life all the time? God opening up things and you think, how on earth did that happen? And God's just looking going, that's me. That's me. You're giving me the space to work. This is brilliant. when I do that, all kinds of things are going to happen. You're going to go, and then you're going to sit down with your mates and you're going to say, this is how God delivered me. This is how God sorted this. This is how God did that. Peter didn't go in there and say, lads, because I got so much faith in God, I was kipping and, you know, me, Peter, the, you know, and all of that. He was probably like, man, I was asleep. I just felt so at peace in there. It was like, man, I can just rest. And so I was asleep. And the next thing, this angel slapped me in the side, a bit cheeky. But look, I've even got his big hand mark or his wing mark or whatever was there. I've got this mark of this angel. Look at that tattoo on the side. It's a bit red there. And he woke me up. And the next thing, the guards were asleep. The doors opened. It was like, and then I came round and man, I'm not dreaming. This is for real. And God wants to say to some of you guys this morning, this message is not a dream message. This is not a message where you say, yeah, Clive, that's great for you and maybe some others in the room, but that's a dream for me. This message is not a dream. This is the truth. This is the word. This is how God works in our lives. God wants to lift you to understand, this is who I am. This is how I work. But all you have to do, trust me. Trust me. No matter what circumstance, no matter opposition, no matter what the situation, no matter what is going on in your life, it doesn't matter how big, small, how repetitive it has been, ongoing, coming against you. God is bigger than all of it. God, sometimes we have to go through stuff in life. Some people think the Christian life, it should be a doddle. If we have opposition, what's wrong with me? If you don't have any opposition, what's happening? If life is just a cruise, it's like, well, man, we're not obviously attracting the things of God and we're certainly not attracting the enemy to try and take us out. So there's some breaking out this morning. You ready? Let's stand. There's some breaking out this morning just in your life. You might be here this morning saying, well, I don't particularly have any things I need breaking out from. Great if you don't. But there's a breaking out on the inside that God wants to do, a roar on the inside of your life, because He is the parat, He is the breakout, He's the breakthrough in your life. And like Peter, in the midst of circumstances, God wants us to constantly live in the rest of who He is. If that happens with one guy, what's it like if a church lives in the great rest? What kind of stuff would be happening? What kinds of things would be going on? When they came to arrest Jesus, the guards couldn't stand. When they came to arrest Peter, they couldn't hold him down. They couldn't restrict him. It was a release of God. There was a breaking out of God. Anybody in the room today, and you're saying, that's just a dream message, Clive, you know. Just first of all say, God, I don't want that to be a dream for me. I want it to be real. I've got circumstances, situations, stuff. Some of you, it's the way you see yourself. Just, you devalue who you are. You live with a sense of lack of worth, of lack of identity in who you are in Him. And God wants to take you on an adventure and reveal to you who He is, what it means to be a child of His, what it means to be in Him, what it means to have your identity, security, your life in His hands. He wants to take you on an adventure in these next few weeks and months. If you're not already on one at the moment, He wants to take you on an adventure. I want to reveal who I am. I want to show you who I am. Some of you in the midst of circumstances need to say, God, I'm going to stop my own labors, my own panicking, my own fears, my own this, that, and the other. The enemy might be sitting either side of you, trying to chain you up in your mind or in your thinking or through circumstances. And you simply just say, Father, thank you that you're in charge. Thank you that fear has no hold on me. That's not the kind of spirit you've put on the inside of me. I don't have the spirit of fear. Sometimes we think, oh, if we're going to see more activity, more life, more breakthrough, more the supernatural, then we need to stir ourselves up and all hallelujah and all that kind of stuff and try and stir it up until we feel like there's more of God at work in our lives. But what does the Bible say? Be still and know that I am God. Is there a place to pray in the Spirit and stir yourself up? Absolutely. But we do that to build spiritual strength and character and life in us. We don't do that because it's like, I'm trying to do something, trying to get somewhere, trying to make something happen. I'm trying to get this feeling on the inside of, yeah, God's doing this, God's doing that. No, we build ourselves up because we want that godly nature and character. We want to hear from God and be in the flow with God and stay in that flow. And we pray in the Spirit for that reason. But when it comes to situations, how we walk, it's like, God, I sit, rest, trust. That you open up the gates all by themselves. So as I walk with you, I walk through and out and into everything that you have. For me, for my family, for work, for whatever situations it is. So Father, we praise your name. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just everything that would seek to steal, kill, or destroy, everything, just give it to God right now. Just name it before God. If there's fear there, if there's reservations there, if there's unworthiness, lack of kind of identity in God, whatever it is, sickness, it could be somebody in your family, circumstances around you, just begin to raise your voice now. God, this is it. I lay this before you. These are the soldiers that are sitting around my life. These are the chains that are seeking to grab my life, put my life down. I just give you all of those things right now. Fear of where the next paycheck's coming from, fear of where the next job's coming from, stuff going on at work, things going on in my family, worries, things that are happening. God, do you love me or not? God, I give you that right now. Am I acceptable or not? Father, I just lay all that before you right now. The enemy's lies, the enemy's chipping away. You're unworthy, you're not good enough, you never amount to anything. God, I'm not going to listen to those lies anymore. I'm not going to be held captive by all those soldiers of the enemy any longer, because you're bringing me out. You're bringing me through. You're bringing me into something new and fresh with you. You're bringing me into a new identity. You're revealing who you are. I thank you for my healing. I thank you for my freedom. I thank you for everything that I have in you. Thank you, Jesus, that you are free. There's no sickness in you. And as I'm in you and my life is hidden in you, I take hold of everything that who you are and what you do in my life, and I choose to take a hold of you right now in this moment and not listen to anything else. I'm not listening to my feelings. I'm not listening to circumstances. I'm not listening to anybody else's doubt or suggestions, but I choose to believe you. And faith is not a feeling. Faith comes from hearing. Faith comes from decision, saying, God, I choose right now to believe what you say. I thank you, Jesus. I praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for a breaking out today. I thank you for a breaking out of your angels working on our behalf. Father, I thank you for a breaking out of your Holy Spirit in a fresh way, moving in us and through us and doing things that we cannot do. Father, I thank you for breakthroughs going to take place in our own lives, breakthroughs in our families, breakthroughs in circumstances, a breaking out of who you are. Father, I thank you for a breaking out of faith in a fresh way, a breaking out of your love, a breaking out of your nature and character in us in a fresh way. Father, I thank you for a release of the things of God in a new way. Father, I thank you for breaking out of boldness, a breaking out of confidence, a breaking out to share the gospel, a breaking out of your power, breaking out of healing and deliverance. Father, I thank you for a breaking out in us and around us and through us. Father, we praise your name. We thank you, Jesus. 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 And just stand in that rest right now. Just close your eyes and just let that overwhelming peace that goes beyond your understanding just come over you right now as you stand in his presence. As you stand in his presence. As you stand in his presence. Your life is hidden in me. Your life is hidden in me. Rest from your own efforts. Rest from your own labor. Trust who I am. I authored the creation of the world. Spoke words and creation came into being. Light. Land. Life. I fling the stars and the universe in place. I hold all of this in my hand. How much more do I take care of everything in your life? See, what is the great rest? Abiding, trusting, believing who he is. And as you experience him and encounter him day by day, it becomes more than just words from the Bible describing who God is. You begin to experience him, and you experience how the Bible describes who he is. A real, tangible, deeper, relationship begins to form. You find a greater hunger begins to resonate on the inside of you. I want to know 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 you more. Show me more of who you are. Show me more of who you are. And it's in that knowing, it's in that relationship, it's in that that trust forms, grows, develops. That leaning into him, depending on him. That when all this other stuff seeks to crowd around, in the middle of all of that, there's this trust you. Father, I thank you that you just continue to cultivate in us and amongst us who you are, how to live in the great rest, how to live being totally kept by you, watching over every hair on our head that falls to the ground. How much more do you know what goes on inside of us? Father, we praise your name. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you. Just turn to the person next to you. Say, God's breaking out in you in a fresh way. God's breaking through in you in a fresh way. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Praise your name. Let's just lift our voices, shall we? Just thank him. Praise him for a few minutes. Just everybody stand together. Come on, let's just lift our hands and just thank him, praise him. Just exalt him. Father, we thank you. We praise your name. We thank you, Jesus. You're awesome.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.